This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 354 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
Yo.
Not surprisingly, not a lot to talk about this week.
I did not watch a lot. I watched two films.
I watched zero.
It was a busy week for me. We recorded on Monday, last Monday. Today's Monday the 8th. We recorded last Monday. Late family dinner on Tuesday. Hold on a second. Is the window open? Oh, it is. Okay, yeah. Wednesday. I feel a breeze. Wednesday and Thursday, I was down in Portland for the NINA conference, so I didn't watch anything really. Friday night, Addison and I went to a play, the middle school play. That was Friday night. Saturday night, I went to the wrestling. So, you know, I watched bare bones shows, I guess. Which is pretty much all we have on our list anyways, is Bears and Bones.
Yeah, I only watched four different, five, I guess, kind of. No, four. Yeah. We're going to go with four. And no movies, so.
Yeah. I will say the play that Addison and I went to see was the middle school play at the high school, because that's where the theater is. And I was thoroughly impressed with the performance these kids put in, the work they put in, everything. It was genuinely very good. It was called Space Princess Wars, and it was a mashup of Star Wars and The Princess Bride. And
I can get behind that.
It was very well done. Like Thursday, Addison asked, oh, can I go to the school play either tomorrow or Saturday? Because she likes to go to the school plays to watch her friends. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, tomorrow's better because Saturday I'm going to wrestling. And she's like, oh, okay, well, do you want to go see it? It's called Space Princess Wars and blah, blah, blah. I think you really like it. And I'm like, do you want me to go? She's like, yeah. I'm like, I'll go then. Wasn't overly excited to go, but glad I went because we had a great time and it was fun.
That's cool. I kind of want to see it.
Yeah, like legitimately, the kids did a great job. Like you can watch clips on YouTube from other performances because it's not something they made up. It's a play out there. You can buy the rights to and everything for your local production. But it's funny. You have the kids faking sick to stay home. Dad comes to read the kid his completely original screenplay, and so it's the grandfather and Fred Savage role. And mm-hmm. then it's just a complete mashup of Star Wars and The Princess Bride as he's telling it. And the kid's like, oh, come on, this is not original. And keeps calling dad out for the horseshit spots of, they may have even said The Princess Bride at one point.
Nice.
And, it's funny. So it's low budget. So they don't have music, but they have a kid that comes out and does music to whatever the scene, like just humming it or whatever, or like the spaceship battles is just they're flying the spaceships around by hand. Like they did a really great job. I was thoroughly impressed. It was good. It was fun.
Thanks.
It was fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And Addison and I had a good time together.
What was I going to say? Oh, you mentioned the NINA conference. Did you get anything?
So I was nominated for Operations Manager of the Year. I did not win the honor, but just the fact my team nominated me was pretty awesome because I didn't know until I got there.
Did you say that? Did you say it was an honor just to be nominated?
No, I didn't have a speech opportunity. I did thank my team, though. I was like, thanks, Mike, guys. What?
How long have we known each other?
30, long time.
I have never in all those years known you to be at a point in your life where you said, I didn't have an opportunity to give a speech?
Well, I wasn't invited up to make a speech at the conference.
When has that ever stopped you?
By the time they were doing the awards late on Thursday, I just want to go home.
Fair enough.
My team did win Critical Incident of the Year, though. So,
oh.
Yeah, second year in a row. We got the old Critical Incident of the Year, so I was pretty excited about that.
I mean, that's a good thing, but it's also kind of a tragic thing. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, something really bad happened to someone.
Or exactly, yeah.
A group of someone's.
It's good that your team, like, rallied. And
we did a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the worst possible time.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's kind of like, yeah. If you want to break it down, we give out an award for the person that handled the most horrendous incident.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll probably get it next year, you know, for the active shooter on the highway.
Because
that was us too.
Yeah, yep.
I'm not going to make an assumption, but I have a good feeling.
Now, would they count it as that, even though that incident started in Bowdoin?
No, because they're connected, as in it's the same suspect. However, one was someone went over to pick up a sweatshirt and found four dead people, and the other was a guy driving down the road randomly shooting at vehicles that were driving 70 miles an hour down the highway. So same suspect, but kind of two separate instances.
Okay. Gotcha.
Because one, the Bowdenham, there was nothing that dispatchers...
allegedly premeditated murder.
Well, even if it wasn't, there was nothing that the dispatchers did that affected the outcome of that call.
Right.
And that's like part of the criteria for the critical incident is in communications, you had to have done something to positively affect the outcome of the call. You know, and in that case, someone walks in and finds four dead bodies. Dispatch isn't doing anything besides going, you know, oh, that's terrible. Get out of the house. Sorry, you had to look at that. As opposed to taking, you know, a couple dozen phone calls from different people freaking out because someone's shooting at their vehicle or they've been shot because someone was shooting at their vehicle. And then, you know, guys run off in the woods and how many guys are there and rallying the troops and, you know, like. There was a we did a lot.
Yeah, I bet
we coordinated a lot in the center that sense. Morning. So yeah, so there are connected incidences, but like not from our perspective of how we did our job.
Okay.
But yeah, so we won Critical Incident of the Year, and very proud of the team for that. And you know, we had representatives there that got the Silent Hero Award, and we had good representation from all three of the state centers, Augusta, Bangor, and Holton. So
nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So.
So that being said, what did you watch this week?
I watched two movies. Told you, went to a play, went to wrestling, and otherwise we did start Deadliest Catch. Maybe we talked. We watched it last week. So we watched the first couple episodes of this season of Deadliest Catch. It's we enjoy the hell out of it. You either like it or you don't. Mm-hmm. And crab fishing in Alaska and apparently black cod fishing. And apparently this year they closed a couple of the fisheries they hadn't closed in like 30 years. So people are scrambling to figure out what they're going to do to support their families. And we got a bunch of poachers out there doing some illegal fishing, and the Coast Guard's cracking down, and so there's drama on the high seas, even because there's some big old waves out there. So we're watching that. Watch Ghosts.
I watched Ghost as well.
The Roberta. Who done it, if you will?
Alberta.
I said Roberta, didn't I? Yeah. The Alberta who done it. Yeah. Did you find it like, so Sam goes to the newspaper and the newspaper guy's basically like, yeah, no one likes your podcast, so we're going to cancel it, but I'm going to let you have one more episode so you can wrap it up and solve it for those that are interested. Mm-hmm. And I like how the Native American ghost is there, and she's like, he's like, well, you know, no one really likes your podcast. He's just flexing his power. He has a boring home life. You know, like, he's just, you know, giving away his secrets to Sam.
Oh, where's your partner? He decided to take some time to be with his family. And she's like, no, it was something about like an open browser and criminal charges. And
pornography. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And like, and then
he didn't wash his hands after.
So that was good. So they're trying to solve the crime. We got Pete, Flower, and Pantsless Guy. I can't think of his name.
Pete, Flower, and Trevor.
Trevor, yeah. Trevor's checking Pete's email because he gets an email, the Daily Pun from Reader's Digest. Mm-hmm. But they get like the Nigerian prince scam, and they completely fall for it. And they try to give him $1,000 from Sam and Jay's account, so that way they'll get $50,000 and they'll be heroes. And then they find out it's a complete scam when he goes, well, I'll Google this and see what happens. And then like, 1 hour later, he's like, apparently it's a very well-known scam, blah, blah, blah. And I like how Sam cut the fraud alert and stopped it and just let it play out.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, I could have stopped this, but, you know, yeah, guys, come on.
You guys need to learn.
It's mostly old people that fall for that. Well, I guess you are old.
Yeah.
But your real question.
did you find it a little unfulfilling as far as Alberta's murder when we finally discovered what it was?
Yes. I felt like the podcast being wrapped up was basically the same thing happening on the show, like real life being reflected, where they were like, we don't know if we're getting another season, so you need to wrap this up. And they were like, well, shit, how do we do that? Oh, I know. Let's do the dumb. I mean, it wasn't dumb per se, but it was very unsatisfying. Yes,
it was, because essentially she was murdered on a New Year's Eve party when someone laced some alcohol with strychnine, rat poison. And she drank
and
died.
And who was it? And who was it that laced it?
Well, we thought it was T. So her sister, because her sister and her husband hooked up after. But the reality was, it was Hetty's son, Thomas. Mm-hmm. You know, T. Because apparently Alberta's boyfriend and Hetty's son were gay lovers. Mm-hmm. And
you could just say lovers.
That's true. I guess I can just say lovers. Anyways, they were lovers and they broke it off and he was distraught. And apparently we find out that Al Capone was there at the party and was in love with Alberta and was going to commit suicide with the strychnine alcohol. Alberta's sister, Teresa or whatever, T, stopped him. And I was like, just get over yourself, blah, 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 and pay your taxes because that's going to come back to haunt you. And it did, mm-hmm. of course. So she gave the alcohol to Thomas to let her know what was going on, and then Thomas went and gave it to Alberta, and bada boom, bada bing. But yeah, it was a little unfulfilling that, like, Hetty knew this whole time and just didn't say anything.
Because she was embarrassed that it was her son.
Right.
And, you know, originally Alberta was just another person who died there and another ghost, but then they became friends. So she felt bad keeping the secret, but realized that it had been too long. So she couldn't really, you know, tell her without feeling like she had betrayed her. And it was kind of cool watching, like, the different ghosts had different things that they saw that night.
Yes.
You know, Thor was there and Nigel was there, you know, and each one of them had their own, like, oh, I saw this. I saw this.
I mean, the show is still hilarious. The show's hilarious. The show's great. I love it. I'm glad, you know, I want more episodes.
There's still another episode.
Yeah, but it does kind of stink that they just kind of like, oh, okay, that's it. It was kind of a little lackluster.
Yeah.
But it was still good.
Mm-hmm. We finished Chicago.
How'd that treat you?
Well, it was interesting because remember we talked last time and I was like, yeah, there's only six episodes and blah, blah, blah. So after that, like the next day, we're like, let's watch the fifth episode. And we watched fifth episode and we're like, ooh, cliffhanger. Let's jump right into the sixth episode. Oh, it's not out yet. And it wasn't out until Wednesday. So, but now all six of them are out there. It was tremendous. It was great. Had a glorious time. The singing is always fun. This time there's actually a narrator because, as she says, you know, oh, musicals in that time period often had a narrator, and it's played by Titus Burgess from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And he is fucking phenomenal. And he's great because he's sassy too. Like, he interacts directly with them. They'll be like, you could have helped. And he's like, I'm on my break. It's just, it's wonderful. I highly recommend it.
I will most likely check it out at some point because I have very little to watch now. The Conners just finished up with the grad finale episode. It was called Grad. Mark's graduating from high school and everything that happens along with that. And
so was this the series or season finale?
Season. Actually, I don't know if it's been renewed for another season, but I know it hasn't been canceled, but I'm not sure if it was renewed or not. Mm. I don't know. I haven't heard one way or the other. But if it comes back with another season, I absolutely would watch it. So.
Yeah. We started to watch an episode of Doctor Who, and it just, like, neither one of us was in the mood, so we stopped. You and I have been talking briefly about this before the podcast, but Jodie Whittaker's season, like, you and I both have had different doctors that, like, it's hard to start with. You know, Capaldi's first year, you're right, both of us were just like, he's a grumpy old guy. He's not the sleek, sexy young Mr. Thang that, you know, Tennant was or Smith was. And even Smith's first year was a little bit weird after having so much seriousness with David Tennant. And then Smith is just, because remember, Stephen Moffat had taken over. So the whole show kind of felt different.
Yeah, and we only got the one season with Eccleston, so it's not like we had time to adjust. It's just, we were excited to have Doctor Who back after a long gap.
The problem with Whittaker and her seasons is that, like, everybody from the show before is gone. You know, this was Chris Chibnall taking over. Stephen Moffat's gone. Russell T. Davies is gone. Like, all the classic characters are gone. And so it's really almost like a mini reboot.
Yeah. And really, Doctor Who's the only show I've seen where that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of times you have a new showrunner take over. Like, I'll use Millennium as my the old TV show Millennium with Lance Henriksen, that was three seasons. And Chris Carter from the X-Files fame, he's created the first season. And you saw the show for what it was. And then the second season, he was no longer the showrunner, it was somebody else. And they went a completely different direction with the same characters, but it had such a different dramatic feel to it. And then the third season, another showrunner took over and it kind of went back to how the first season felt. And it was, you know, it wrapped up really well. You know, even Supernatural with its 15 seasons after Kripke left after season five, the show still held, but it didn't feel different. It just became the show it became. Whereas Doctor Who, every time you have a new doctor, a new showrunner, I've never seen a show where they do just have such a huge difference of feel from one season to the next like this.
Yeah. And that's why it's a little hard for us to, like, get into the Whittaker run right now. You know, it's so different. Everybody's unfamiliar. It's almost like you're just picking up a whole other show.
Yeah.
But it still has the underpinnings of Doctor Who. It also doesn't help that, you know, we haven't really had any classic villains, any monsters that you'd recognize. You know, we just had that Rosa Parks episode. Now, this one that we started was Arachnids in the UK, which is the one with Chris Noth. You forget that you're watching Doctor Who for the most part. And that makes it rough. So we're still going to watch it. You know, we're going to get caught up. We're counting down because we've got three seasons with Whittaker and then we're caught up. So,
and a couple specials.
Yeah. Yep.
Along the way as well.
Yep. So, yeah.
Let's see here.
What else have you got on your show notes?
Really, not a lot. I mean, I watched Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
And that's really it.
We watched one new show this week based on a suggestion from you.
Oh, yeah. I know what it is. Why am I?
We watched The Bastard Son and The Devil Himself.
See, I talked to Julia earlier, so I know you guys power watched like 6 episodes yesterday, she told me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've watched all 8 total.
Yeah.
And it was hard to find on Netflix because even though the title card says The Bastard Son and The Devil Himself, and the IMDb is The Bastard Son and The Devil Himself, Netflix has it as Half Bad, The Bastard Son and The Devil Himself.
Because the book it's based on was called Half Bad.
Yeah, makes it kind of awful.
Yeah, okay. That would make it difficult to find because I think for me it just came up like, oh, show you might like. And then it was on my, you know, my list, if you will.
So I know you've watched the whole thing.
I have.
Overarching thought, it was a good show. It definitely was enjoyable. Lot of problems with it. Lot of problems with it. But for the most part, enjoyed the hell out of it. Sometimes enjoyed the hell out of it by laughing at it, but enjoyed the hell out of it.
I liked that we had the supernatural element, if you will, of the witches. Mm-hmm. That was it. We didn't have any other monsters or demons or anything else. It was just witches, and I liked that. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times when we have these things, it can get too clustered with everything else going on around it.
Yes.
So that I enjoyed.
So there was a lot like – this was a very British show, or Wales or whatever. There were a lot of things that I picked up on immediately. I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't pick up on, but I'm just picky like at this, or I pattern recognition. I have good pattern recognition. So, for instance, in the first couple of episodes, we had several times when the brigade of hunters were tracking people down and they'd show up in their SUVs. There were always way more hunters than there were places in SUVs. Like 2 SUVs would pull up and there would be 20 people standing there. And I'm like, where did those people come from? I mean, you could say witchcraft, it's like a clown car, but 2 SUVs, 20 people. There was even one scene when they capture Nate and they take him in and they're driving down the road and they pull over and they're like, yeah, we're going to take you there, but first we're going to beat the shit out of you. 2 vehicles pulled over. And there's like 30 people out there surrounding him. They beat the shit out of him. And I kept saying over and over again, I'm like, where did these people come from? And it was so bad that like the 2 vehicles pulled off and an entire cluster of people just stood there on the side of the road. Like they were extras or something. They were like, okay, well, we ain't got no vehicle. So there were things like that where it just didn't track. Like the realism was gone from it. Another one that I said was I got Julia laughing because they talked about Marcus Edge, the big bad, the boogeyman, you know, the one that everybody fears. And they're like, yeah, he eats the hearts of other witches and he takes their powers. And then he has those powers and he has the power to control weather and fire and lightning and ice and, you know, all this stuff. So he finds himself in a house surrounded by other witches and wants to kill them all. And his go-to move is dog.
It's no, it's a wolf.
It's a dog.
No, it's a wolf. There's a big difference.
So
but they made a big deal out of the fact that he became that he would become this wolf.
And everybody just shit their pants and let him kill them. They're like, fuck, he can control lightning and the weather, but he's a dog. Run!
It was a wolf, and it was like a briar wolf. It was an enormous wolf. It wasn't like the size of a dog. It was like a Game of Thrones wolf.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So if you and I were in a group of, say, 40 people, even non-magical people, no weapons, no nothing, 40 of us, and one wolf showed up, would we all get slaughtered?
No.
No.
No. We're also not entrapped in a confined space of a house.
Dude, even if we were.
Building a storyline.
Dude, even if we were. Okay, there you go. The storyline. There were a lot of things that were put in here for storyline. I loved the love interest, Annalise. I loved her power, the decimation.
That was cool.
That was really cool, especially the way that it wasn't just, oh, you exploded. She literally took things apart, like the watch, the gun. Really like that. The character redeeming arcs were okay. I never understood how in 24 to 48 hours, Nate and Gabriel became so magnetically drawn to each other. Just that seemed a little odd to me, but okay. I really loved Gabriel's character. Honestly, he was probably the best character on there. I felt bad for him. I really liked his arc. I liked his power. Would have liked to have seen a bit more of the alchemy, honestly.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. Yep.
They definitely left this open for a second season, obviously, because I mean, they leave it on a huge cliffhanger.
There was parts of the show I could have done without.
Yes, there was a lot of filler.
And then, but then there were parts of the show that I would have liked to have seen more in, or like I wish they would have told more of this story and less of that story. Mm. You know, the sister was such a deplorable human being.
How is it that he's supposed to be the son of the most evil man, quote unquote, evil man in the world? And so he's supposed to be, quote unquote, evil. And yet his sister was literally the worst person I have ever seen. Like she would have made Voldemort be like, wow, what a bitch. Like she was a horrible person, from changing into his mother and saying, you're the reason I'm dead. I killed myself because of you. And then laughing about it afterwards.
Yep.
Everything she did. Like turning, and it got so predictable, unfortunately, that like, you know, when the little girl came running in and her dad picked her up, I was like, that's Jessica. And then she stabs him and I'm like, yeah. Or, you know, oh, they're going to make sure that the grandfather gives the blood to the boy. I'm like, so which one of these is going to be Jessica? Is it the grandfather or the kid? Oh, it was the grandfather. Okay.
Well, it had to be the grandfather because it's the kid that would die.
Yeah, and she wanted to sit there and watch him twist and die and suffer. And
But they didn't get that right.
I would have liked to have seen the giant there, Brienne of Tarth, show her powers off sooner. Like, she was literally an ice princess, ice queen.
Wait, was that Brienne of Tarth?
No. But okay, Julia said that. She goes, I think that they're trying to, like, recreate the magic that everybody loved Brienne of Tarth. By, you know,
okay, I didn't think it was the same actress, but
no.
Just a tall woman who can fight.
Yep.
Yeah, her death was kind of anticlimactic as well.
We didn't even know that she had a power until she, like, the 11th hour.
Yep.
Oh, that was another thing Julia said. She's like, they built up to this climax, this grand showdown, with 20 minutes left of the series. And instead of having the fight, we get to watch the three best friends walking across the field and kind of having their afterward hero moment. Like, they're like patting each other on the back and going, hey, we got this far. All right. Oh, friends forever. Yeah. Like, that should have come after the fight. So we got like the final fight in like the last 8 minutes of the show.
Yeah. I mean, it had its faults. Overall, I did enjoy it.
I did too. Quite a bit.
I'm curious if we'll get a second season or not. I'm really curious where the story would actually even go, quite frankly.
Well, you remember Jessica ended up with Mercury. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Mercury will probably be the new big bad, and she'll be having Jessica help her be, you know, an awful, awful person. That was another thing. Okay. So the witch's bottle, which was the tattoo on the chest and on the finger, which it seemed to only matter on the finger. The one on the chest never did anything. So they said that it was meant to steal a witch's power, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So her dad did that to Nathan so that he could steal his power. Well, he didn't really steal his power. He copied his power.
Yes.
And Nathan didn't have his power yet. because he hadn't had his blood. He hadn't turned 17. So he didn't have his power. So how did he, quote unquote, steal it? And Annalise pulled the poison out of him midway through the ritual. So I wouldn't think it would have worked, but apparently it did. It just that stuff, it seemed very weak, like a weak explanation.
Well, they didn't really explain it too well to begin with. They just kind of like, oh, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you checked it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely enjoyed it. Hope they do a second season.
I just got Ted Lasso.
Same here.
Wait, all right.
You mean on a very special Ted Lasso?
I guess. I mean, that's their version of one.
Some that of it played sense. Out that way.
Yeah. So this was We'll Never Have Paris. So, Ted needs to get over his ex-wife. Like, that is just, and here's the thing. Like, so he's pining after his ex-wife, Michelle, and their former therapist, Dr. Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
But Jacob and Michelle and Henry have come to the UK. So Henry can visit for a couple weeks or a week or whatever it is. And when they get there, Ted finds out that Dr. Jacob and Michelle are going to go to Paris. And Ted knows that she's always wanted to go to Paris because her favorite movie takes place in Paris. Her favorite TV show had some episodes in Paris. And so she knows that she's always wanted to go to Paris.
You mean Sex in the City?
Sex in the City. Yep. and then I can't remember the movie, but anyways, so that's Ted's episode, is spending being jealous and upset that his ex-wife is having a relationship with another man and going to go to Paris, and wanting to get the boss lady to track them to see, because he's convinced that he's going to propose to her there, because that's the most romantic city in the world. Isn't that what you do?
Now, don't skip over the fact that we had one of the coolest Diamond Dogs interventions where they called Leslie and he came running down there completely out of breath, almost vomited.
Yeah.
And then Ted makes that announcement. He's like, well, they're going to Paris. And Leslie, of all people, looks at him and goes, Ted, I ran down here. I was going to throw up. My God, really? Yeah. For this? And they gave him the great line of, what is it? Figure it out before you freak out or something like that.
I like how Rory is really sincerely like, oh, geez, Ted, I'm sorry. Do you want to talk about it? I think I do. Diamond Dogs, he's like, son of a bitch. And he walks out and slams the door. He goes, of course, we just can't talk like normal people. You do see later on, like, Nate trying to have a Diamond Dogs group. He called it, like, the something hounds or whatever.
The Love Hounds.
Or what? Yeah. So we can talk about it. And it just doesn't work out the same. So he's like, whatever. Henry wants to go see Nate's team play.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to the game. Of course,
Peter makes a stop to dress up in his full coach uniform.
Yeah. So they go to the game. Of course, it makes the paper that they're at the game.
Mm-hmm.
And,
which, to their credit, again, this is another wonderful thing. Like, Henry doesn't know that there's animosity between Nate and Ted and the team, you know, so he still thinks they're all friends. So he's like, Nate
turns out, Nate did like kind of wave at him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nate gets a text later, you know, from Rupert, like, oh, Ted was there. It'll never happen again. And at first Nate was like, I thought it was funny. And then he's like, okay, thank you. You know, his relationship is going well with the food hostess there at the Taste of Athens. So that's nice.
Yep. To the point where she actually finally puts a label on it and says,
at the end of the episode,
I like when my boyfriend is happy. And he's like, oh, I'm your boyfriend.
Yeah. It's so weird how Nate is still so insecure of himself, even though he has this amazing job and a great salary and kind of his life has improved thoroughly. He's still so insecure of himself and everything about himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it almost feels like he's suffering from imposter syndrome.
Absolutely.
But he shouldn't be.
He's never done the work. You know, he came up with these plays and people praised him for it. And yeah. he let that go to his head because everything for him is all about approval, daddy's approval, Ted's approval, Rupert's approval. He wants everybody else's approval instead of looking for his own approval.
Yeah. So ultimately, in the end, you know, Ted gets some good valuable lessons about, hey, he needs to let Michelle go, because Ted's already, like, he hasn't had a relationship, but he's been intimate with someone more than once. Mm-hmm. So, like, he shouldn't be upset that his wife's kind of moved on.
But ex-wife. Has she, like?
Well, that's the tease at the end, is that he didn't propose. She only had an okay time in Paris. And Ted thinks that Jake and Henry are best buds, but he can see that they're really not. Like, Jake's trying, but Henry's like, hasn't accepted him yet.
And then Jake goes to, like, give Michelle a hug or something, and she just hands over the backpack and is like, go get in the car. In the beginning of the episode, too, when they were sitting in the bar, like, Jake went off to do something, go to the bathroom or something, and Michelle and Ted
had to go wash his hands.
Yeah, yeah, because
he's touched dirty money.
Yep. And May was like, nothing's impossible, Ted. And she kind of, like, nods over at Michelle. So they're trying to really build us up that, oh, maybe they're going to get back together after all. You know, the season 3 is going to end and he's going to leave England and go back home with them. And
I like when they go to the pub and they're sitting outside and she's bringing them a couple beers and a milk. He's like, what are you boys up to today? And Henry's like, oh, we went and saw West Ham play. She's like, you can't fucking eat here.
And they're like, man, he's a child. She's like, fine, you two can't.
Yeah, so she gives him the milk, and then she's like, well, you two can't have anything. And Beard's like, you think I wanted to fucking be there? And she's like, okay, fine. So she gives him the beer and then storms off. I thought that was hilarious. Yeah.
It was amazing.
We do see the teams winning.
Yes. Yep.
Yep.
Several matches.
Yep, we do see the teams winning, and they're doing really well. The second big play in this is that Kaylee had a sex tape leaked. It was a solo tape leak, masturbation tape, whatever.
Yeah.
A video she recorded.
A message to a boyfriend.
That we find out was Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked, so the team's reaction, it's funny because the team talked about, oh, people's phones got hacked and things got leaked. And they're like, oh, like, girls sent me this and this and everything. And they're just kind of like, ha, 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 type of stuff. Like,
mm-hmm.
Not like they're happy it happened, but like it happened, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, the next day or whatever it is, like, oh, Kaylee's one of the people. And that changed everything. They're like, delete all your stuff. Like, the captains make them delete anything a girl sent them. You know, it's, and then you hear, like, other people talk about, yeah, you know, like, whenever I had a girl break up with me, I give her my phone and say, delete whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
one of them deleted Candy Crush.
Yeah, and that really hurt me because I was doing really well. But, and I had to start over. But, it led to a really good discussion. And what really, Roy is so stupid because when he finally sees Kaylee, he, like, apologizes or says, oh, I'm sorry this happened, blah, blah, blah. And then, who was the video for? And that has nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. Of course, we find out later on it was sent to Jamie Tart, because Jamie goes to talk to Kaylee. And he apologizes. He thought he had deleted everything, but it was in an email. And someone hacked his email. And she's like, Jamie, was your email password? And he's like, well, yeah. But she's like, it's not anymore, you know, like, but he's really apologetic and owns up to it and just wants to make, and he just feels terrible and she's okay with it.
And you they know, hug, but there's no indication that they're getting back together.
No, it was like, definitely a platonic, like, thank you hug. I appreciate you being supportive and being apologetic and everything. Jack, on the other hand, Jack doesn't handle it well. Jack goes to her dad. Jack gets lawyers involved. Jack has a memo delivered to Kaylee with a statement that she needs to announce, basically saying she's apologizing for what she did and is sorry for her behavior and this and that. And Kaylee's like, well, no, I'm not, though. You know, I did that. I wanted to do that. That was my choice. Mm-hmm. You know, did I want to get leaked out there forever? The internet to see? No, but that was my choice. And like she had said it talking to Boss Lady about it, which was like, you know, she's done topless things before, but that was her choice.
Right.
this was not a choice she had. This was kind of taken from her.
Exactly.
And so then, like, Jack spends, like, the rest of the episode of, like, oh, we'll revise the statement, or does this one look better to you? And then Father Kaylee's just like, I'm not making a statement. And to the point where, like Jack even canceled, like, a wedding they were going to go to, or a horse race or some shit.
There was a party that they were going to go to that Kaylee was party. Really excited about, because the head of, like, Louis Vuitton or something was going to be there. And she was like, oh, no, that got canceled. And then they're out doing mini golf, and she sees one of her friends. Jack sees one of her friends, and the girl comes over. She's like, oh, this is my friend Kaylee.
Yeah.
Like, no longer calling her girl because she's distancing herself.
Yeah. And they basically broke up by the end of it.
Yeah. My two notes in there, just to kind of sum that up, were Roy asked the wrong question. Because he fucked that up so bad. Like,
focused on the wrong thing.
He really did. Yeah. Yeah. And in his defense, he's not good with emotions. I get that. He might have been trying to be helpful, but he knew immediately right afterwards that he fucked up.
Yeah.
And my other note was Jack turns out to be a POS.
Yeah, basically.
For all of her love bombing and, you know, oh, I'm so crazy about you and I just want to be with you. You know, one thing like this turns sour. She like tells her, she's like, it's not going to look good that the woman that I'm dating made a porno. And she's like, made a porno.
Right. But that's not what it is at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely not what it is.
No.
And I can see why Kaylee's upset by it. Kaylee, whatever. And rightfully so. And yeah, I really like this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, sincerely.
This episode, it felt a little heavy handed on some of the stuff, but it's still a phenomenal show. It's so good. And I'm going to be sad to see it go. But
I know. I'm really sad it's the last season and that we only have 4 episodes left.
Yep.
So who knew that a character that originated from commercials. Wasn't that what it was for? Like Jason Sudeikis, whatever. They did commercials for NBC's coverage of Premier League.
I think
and
so.
And he was just doing promotional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That's it for shows, though.
Yeah. My two movies, just to wrap up my Alien movie run, I watched Alien versus Predator and Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Cool.
So now I feel like I need to go watch the Predator movies.
Nice.
I enjoyed both the flicks. I don't know if you've seen them or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like in Alien versus Predator, they go to a remote island off the Antarctica where we see Lance Henriksen playing him, you know, Wayland, who the alien, if you watch the Alien movie series, like his likeness is used for the first like android, and it's the Wayland Corporation that's making the world a better place or whatever. Huh?
The Yutani Corporation. Weyland-Yutani.
No, Weyland-Yutani Corporation, yes. But this is Weyland.
Yeah.
In this movie. And so it's them going to find this pyramid that's underground. But the premise is that the predators come there to hunt aliens.
Mm-hmm.
As like a rite of passage. Type of thing.
Yep.
I would really like to know what happened to the character at the end of the movie. Because there's one, if people haven't seen it, you should go watch it. But there's one human, if you will, that survives by the end of the flick. And I'd really like to know what happened with her. Like, I can't recall them ever, like, discussing it in any of the other movies or going over it or anything. And then in Alien vs. Predator Requiem, it takes place right after the Alien vs. Predator ends. Now we have an alien predator hybrid beast in this movie, and they're now battling in a Colorado town.
Ba-na-na-na-na.
Yeah. Good flicks, really good flicks. You know, if you like both characters, both characters, the alien characters and the Predator characters, if you like both of them, you know, it's a solid flick. And at the end of the second movie, we see the Yutani Corporation.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I knew it was in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's at the end of the second film.
Gotcha.
So I'll go watch and go back and watch the Predator movies now, just to get all those done.
A buddy of mine sent me an article today speaking of that kind of stuff. And yeah. I feel like either I missed this or I just blanked it out, but it basically the title of the article was saying that it's now canon that Jason Voorhees is a Deadite. And I was like, I feel like I missed something here. So apparently in one of the Friday movies, I want to say Manhattan, they show that the Necronomicon was in his mother's room or his mother's house and kind of alluded to her using the Necronomicon to bring Jason back after he had drowned. And then apparently in the comics, the Freddy versus Ash versus Jason,
yep.
Or Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Yeah.
They go to get the Necronomicon and it was there. Like it kind of links that up and makes it official canon that yes, she did have it. Yes, she did bring him back. And that's why he kind of is zombie like. And yeah. So apparently those are tied together in canon now that Jason Voorhees is a Deadite brought back by the Necronomicon that Ash fought against in the Evil Dead movies.
Pass.
You don't mind. I'll send you the article after this. You
can I pass.
Okay.
Because he doesn't act like any other Deadite that we know.
Not that I've
we've ever met.
Nope. No, he's actually got intelligence and hunting skills.
Right. And yeah, so he doesn't self-mutilate.
No.
For pleasure.
No, he does not. No.
Yeah.
Or sprout off new versions of himself when he gets cut.
Yeah, I'm going to go pass. nice try, everybody. Nice try.
So does that just bring us to news and.
Yep.
Yeah.
Trailers.
Not a lot again this week. I feel like last week, because we had had 2 weeks in between, we had a lot to talk about. This week, we didn't have finales. You know, we. No more Picard, no more Mandalorian. So
yeah.
There wasn't really a lot going on. You sent me a trailer for Maggie Moores.
Yeah. Basically, you have a young lady. Well, it's almost just like a murder for hire.
Mm-hmm.
And they killed the wrong person.
Yep.
And so then they killed the other person. A small town police chief. John Hamm in a desert town in Arizona has to try to solve the cases of two women with the same name that have both been murdered. Like someone hired a hitman to kill a Maggie Moore and he killed the wrong Maggie Moore.
A deaf hitman, no less.
Yes. 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 And hitman.
The two law enforcement officers that are in here are John Hamm and Nate from Ted Lasso.
Yeah. Tina Fey's in it.
Yep.
So it looks good. It looks funny. I don't know if we're getting a theatrical release or if it's going to be. Yeah, it's going in theaters. Okay. You sent me a trailer of robots.
So the description is a womanizer, Charles, who is Jack Whitehall, and a gold digger, Elaine, played by Shailene Woodley, trick people into relationships with illegal robot doubles of themselves. When they unwittingly use this scam on each other, their robot doubles fall in love and elope, forcing Charles and Elaine to team up to hunt them down before the authorities discover their secret.
Awesome. Yeah, it looks good.
It does. It looks like fun.
Yeah, it looks fun.
A lot of humor, a lot of humorous stuff in there. Yeah, I'll check it out.
You sent me the article about how Monster Season 2 is going to focus on the Menendez brothers. First season mm-hmm. was
Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer, yeah. So
this will be interesting because I feel like the Menendez brothers were a lot more sensationalized, lot more in the media.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll be a fictionalized version of what happened.
Yeah, I'm wondering how dark they're going to get, because Dahmer was very dark. These two, I don't know.
Yeah. Dahmer killed a lot of people. These two did not. But we'll see. You sent me the trailer for Dune Part 2. I haven't watched Part 1 yet.
I haven't either.
I might. I don't know. Danny Elfman promises Michael Keaton will look 150 years old and or once more in Beetlejuice 2, which, you know, answers the question we had last week, is will you know, Michael Keaton be back?
Exactly. So. Yep. And I'm very happy that he will be.
Yep. We're getting a Robert Englund documentary this July. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Hollywood Dreams and Nightmares, the Robert Englund story.
Yeah, it looks pretty solid.
Badass.
Oh, yeah. Evil Dead Rise is coming on digital this week.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, May 9th. And then June 27th, they're getting the 4K Blu-ray DVD releases. And I looked, and they're already available for pre-order on Amazon. $22.99 for the Blu-ray DVD digital combo, $27.99 for the 4K UHD Blu-ray digital combo, and then I think $18 for DVD. So
have you pre-ordered already?
Yeah.
4K?
I don't have a 4K TV, but yeah.
I was going to say, somewhere down the road you might.
I will someday, yeah. I'll have that. Like, the only other video, the only other 4K I have is Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2 Steelbook, and then the new Pattinson Batman movie. Because it was cheaper for the 4K Blu-ray combo than it was for the DVD Blu-ray combo at Christmas last year.
Of course it was.
And then you sent a really badass trailer for Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
That looks really, really good.
It sure does. I don't know how Barbie's going to compete with that.
How what?
How Barbie is going to compete with that.
Yeah, that might be a
struggle.
They're
coming out the same weekend.
Yeah. A little bit too little different audiences. But this trailer looks phenomenal. And also, like, the Oppenheimer one at the end, it's Christopher Nolan flick. They did say that it was shot with IMAX cameras on IMAX film for IMAX, you know, cinemas. So. Mm-hmm. That's Christopher Nolan definitely likes his IMAX, that's for sure. And
That's it, right?
Tickets are now on sale for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2.
Oh, damn.
I saw that today, too.
Nice.
So, I'm going to push another podcast. And I meant that.
Are you?
I meant to message you earlier this week about it, and I forgot. But I have this podcast. I don't listen to every episode, but it's put out by the New York Times, and it's called The Daily.
Okay.
And back on May 5th, they released a it's only half an hour long. It's called How Streaming Hurt Hollywood Writers. And it really breaks down and really explains the Writers Guild strike that's on right now. And the last time they had the strike was in 2007. And if you remember, we lost Bionic Woman. We lost Life. We had shows cut down to shorter seasons and on and on and
on. When they first started with the shows being cut down.
Yeah. They canceled a bunch of shows that they were supposed to either have or they were going to bring back or announced and then canceled because it went on for so long. But it really talks about, you know, like how much the realm of television has changed from the last strike to now because of streaming services and how this strike is so much about streaming services. And it talks about how, like, previously, if you were a writer on a TV show, you had a good years of work ahead of you because it took that long for them to film that show. Maybe not a full calendar year, but you had a good 9-10 months of work that you were going to do. But now with streaming, where they do shorter episodes, shorter seasons, you know, 8 to 10 episodes, 8 to 12 episodes, and they all come out at the same time, that work that used to be, you know, 8-9 months long of work they're getting paid for every week is now 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth your time to download and have a listen. I found it very interesting. And nice. It definitely spoke more intelligently than I could. I started taking notes to talk about it, and then I was like, nope, I'm just going to tell people to listen to it. because they explain it better than I can. If you're going to listen to me ramble about it for 25 minutes, you might as well listen to them talk intelligently about it for 25 minutes.
Nice.
So
the yeah, I had actually had that on my notes, you know, talk about the writer's strike a little bit. And yeah, I'm not an expert on it. I know that there's a lot of history there. I know that there's a lot of right now there are a lot of actors who are standing on the picket line with them and supporting. There's a lot of news saying, you know, this show is not going to have writers on set, but they're going to continue producing, or this show, like Stranger Things, just got shut down because there are no writers. But some of them, like Lord of the Rings season 2, is going to continue without writers. So
yeah, I remember like last go round, like a lot of the night, like Saturday Night Live is done, may not get a season finale. All the late night shows are done. They're off the air right now, or they're doing repeats or whatever. But I remember like last time, Conan O'Brien, who is in the Writers Guild and supported the strike last time, stayed on the air because the rest of his staff needed to earn a wage and get paid. And that's the thing. So he would, so they had no script. Everything was just kind of off the wall. Like, and it's funny because like he could have guests on the show, but he couldn't have preformed questions.
Right.
It was just kind of weird. Like, you know, like everything was basically ad-libbed. But I remember like one segment of every episode was him spinning his wedding ring to see how long they could get it to spin. And they just had it on the camera. It was just wedding ring just spinning, you know, like people spin a quarter or whatever. Just stupid things like that. But it'll be interesting to see what happens, because like they talked about, the last strike led to a giant influx in reality television because it's not scripted.
Right. That makes sense.
Yep. That's why we got the Celebrity Apprentice. So,
God.
Yeah. But no, it's definitely worth people's time to have a listen, because I thought the article was really good, and they do a really good job kind of explaining everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
Otherwise, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. Well, nice short episode this week.
Yeah. A lot of times in the past, we say, oh, it's going to be a short one, and then it's still an hour and a half, and now we haven't even crested an hour yet.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well,
tis what it is.
Yep.
I don't think we lost anything. Just don't have a lot to talk about.
That's right.
So, cool. All right, I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That is our show.
Talk to you next week. Thank you.